let's do the thing.
There she is.
It wasn't a bad pay-per-view. Oh, we're gonna talk about that.
Yeah.
Oh.
We're gonna get to the pay-per-view.
Mike, do you know what this is?
What is this?
Number 26.
What? We made it. We didn't even change the name.
Podcast over. This is the last episode. We're retiring.
No, go on. Last episode had to be last episode.
No, we've gone above and beyond. We're going to go out on top now.
Well, shouldn't we do one more? Because then it'll be a year and then we can wrap it up. Like, next week's just like a best of and then we put it away.
Oh, that's great. The best of Room Full of Nerd Stuff. Everybody's going to be like, why is the podcast only 2 minutes long this week? Oh,
it's that 2 minutes that you cut out of me talking about the poop soup.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 26 of Mike's Bowels, the podcast. That's the new name.
No.
Mike's Bowels.
No, it is not.
It's like Bob's Burgers, but Mike's Bowels. So it's really nothing like Bob's Burgers.
If this goes up as Mike's Bowels, the podcast, episode one, I'm going to fly to Georgia, kick you in the nuts, and fly home.
You couldn't fly to Georgia.
I'm not saying I'd do it immediately. I would have to raise some money.
20 years from now, I'm like sitting on the front porch. Is that Mike? No, oh, my balls!
See, you, asshole! I kind of slowly shuffle away.
I don't know if in 20 years we're just like old men already.
Well, in 20 years I'm going to be 50.
Me too.
And I don't expect, feeling the way I feel now, I don't expect I'm going to get better. My back and knees are just going to get worse from here, so.
Going off how 30 feels, 50's not looking good.
50's going to be a motherfucker.
By the time you hit 50, maybe it's that kind of thing where your brain's dealt with the pain for so long it just shuts out the signal. And you're like, no, I'm feeling okay.
Yeah, that's why guys like my grandfather would put their hands on the oven and not realize they were scalding themselves.
So, I mean, not really a lot to talk about this week in fronts that are not wrestling. The only thing really notable that happened this week other than that was fans somehow thought Transformers 4 would be good. Because, you know, when I think franchise saving, I think...
Yeah, you always think the fourth
Mark
part.
Mark Wahlberg. I always think Mark Wahlberg and the fourth part, yes.
Those are two things that always rescue a franchise.
I'm sitting around like, I don't know about this movie, and then I hear that siren song. I think we just found a Transformer! And I'm like, never mind, it's gonna... Just wait until the fifth one comes out, and The Rock is chasing Mark Wahlberg and Optimus Prime across the country. Then you know.
Well, he doesn't have any more Fast and the Furious sequels to be in, so...
They'll find a way. Those things make too much money for them to not be like, Paul Walker retired.
Well, this one was supposed to be the last one anyway, and I think with Paul Walker's death, that pretty much made it indefinite.
Well, now he can go focus on the G.I. Joe threequel, which is happening, evidently.
Or Vin Diesel's going to have enough money to finance another Riddick movie. Maybe Rock will be in that.
Well, he's got that Marvel money from playing Groot now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a hard role for him to record.
Isn't his only line, I am Groot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In various inflections.
So he was only in the recording booth for an hour.
They were like, thanks, Vin. He's like, no, I can do some more if you want. My Vin Diesel sounds exactly like my Mark Wahlberg. I just don't fucking care. They're like the same person in my eyes. Like, maybe it's like a Bruce Banner Incredible Hulk situation where when Mark Wahlberg's career, like, tailspins, he turns into Vin Diesel.
I was going to say that Vin Diesel really is the large black equivalent of Mark Wahlberg, but I'm not sure that he's black.
Me either.
I don't know if he's black or Mexican or somewhere in between, but...
I'm gonna wiki that right now.
It's like, as the joke was forming in my head, I was like, wait, what ethnicity is Vin Diesel?
Even he doesn't know.
Jewish? What?
Diesel has stated he is of ambiguous ethnicity. His mother's background includes Scottish, English, and German. He has never met his biological father. Vin, are you black? Are you white? Are you Mexican? No, I'm just Vin Diesel.
I think he's played one of everything, though.
Raised by his Caucasian mother and African-American stepfather. That's like the most American background you can come up with.
Vin Diesel.
An actor I don't necessarily hate. I just don't necessarily like either.
Yeah, he's been in some really decent movies.
Saving Private Ryan, The Iron Giant, Pitch Black, and Riddick, which I've never seen. By all accounts, the first Fast and Furious isn't terrible. Guardians of the Galaxy is probably going to be pretty awesome, it looks like. And then he's got shit like The Pacifier.
Yeah. Have you seen Fast and Furious when it, like, the fourth one?
No.
When they brought...
I've not seen any of them.
Oh.
Are you going to ruin it for me? Oh, spoiler alert. The cars go really fast.
No, I'm not going to do that. The first one is pretty good. Two and three were absolute turds. But then four is way better than it deserves to be, and they keep actually getting better than that.
Right.
So, yeah, it's like, I was really surprised when I found myself looking forward to six.
Oh my god, I completely forgot there was a third Riddick movie.
Yeah, watch Pitch Black and you've seen it.
I was looking and I was like, what's this? And I was like, oh my god, that's right, they did another one of those.
You've seen Chronicles of Riddick, right?
I've seen neither of those either.
Wow, really?
I have just skipped the Vin Diesel era of films. Like, I'm looking at this list and I'm like, I've seen none of these. I've seen Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, watch Pitch Black and then Chronicles of Riddick, and then Riddick is pretty much undoing everything that happens in Chronicles of Riddick and remakes Pitch Black.
Jesus.
Like, the first 5 minutes completely undo the second movie, and...
How did we get on this conversation?
Mark Wahlberg?
Mark Wahlberg. Sorry, I was just looking, I was thinking, so I was like, how do I segue this into... Wait, what were we talking about?
I immediately just wanted to talk about movies that I enjoyed, because fucking Transformers. And no one watching this movie now has anyone to blame but themselves. Not one fucking person out there watching Transformers has anyone to blame but themselves.
Why would you say that, Michael?
Because it's the fourth fucking movie.
I was wondering how long it would take me to get you to start ranting about that. Yes, I agree.
It's like...
It's not like...
I said it before, that people are like, well, the first three suck, so I shouldn't have been surprised that the fourth one sucks. Like, how many times do you have to stick your fucking hand in the fire before you realize that it hurts? You dumb cocksucker. Jesus. And then somebody I saw walked out of Transformers and was like, did you get a refund? Well, no. It's like, then they got your fucking money and they still don't care that you didn't like it.
Which idiot was that?
I don't want to call him out.
So it's somebody you know personally.
It's not someone I know personally, but they're a nice person, so I don't want
to... They don't deserve to suffer the scalding pain is our podcast.
If they happen to listen to this podcast, I'm sorry, but you're a fucking idiot for doing that.
Yeah, Ben, what the fuck?
No, and then there's guys like someone who I'll be working with soon, hopefully, said that he really enjoyed the movie. And it's like, okay, if you enjoyed the movies and you went to it, had fun, whatever.
More power to you.
Yes, exactly.
More power to you.
But don't say, well, I hated the first three, so I need to go to the fourth one on opening night to say that it sucked again. It's like, whose fault is that now? It's not Michael Bay's anymore. You should have learned. Fucking morons.
I did not see it. I have seen and owned the first Transformers movie, and I have avoided them since then.
I've seen, I think I said this last week. Last week or the week before. I've seen all three of them, all in theaters. I haven't seen the fourth one yet. And, enjoyed the first two. A lot of people didn't like the second one, but that was during the writer's strike, and so a lot of it felt like they needed to get to the shit.
Right.
Instead of dragging it out like they did with three. Where they spend 2.5 hours talking about a fight that never fucking happens. Which is also why, and I know this is an unpopular opinion, but why I preferred X-Men 3 was because they finally got to the fight that we spent two fucking movies talking about that hasn't happened yet.
Doesn't matter, because now X-Men 3 never happened.
I know. I still haven't seen that movie either.
You still haven't seen Days of Future Past? What the hell, Mike?
I'm not giving X-Men any more of my money.
But this is the good one.
Not giving them any more. I'm not giving Bryan Singer any more of my money. How about that?
Did you go see Origins in theaters?
I did.
Oh, god damn it, Mike.
Wait, Wolverine?
Yeah.
The
first Wolverine.
Oh, yes, I did.
Oh, Mike.
I didn't go see the next one.
You have done an excellent job of avoiding the best X-Men movies in theater.
No, because I saw First Class.
Oh, this is true. This is true.
And after seeing First Class, probably the best one. I don't feel like I need to watch any other X-Men movies. First Class was the best, it will be the best, and I don't need to watch any of the others.
First Class.
I probably will eventually, but probably when a decent pirated version hits the internet.
Not that we know anything about that.
Nope,
nothing about it. So, with that in mind, the big money in the pink. Money in the pink?
Money in the pink.
Money in the pink.
I was just about to take a drink.
Money in the bank pay-per-view aired Sunday. By the
Tommy,
way, before we get into this,
was that you?
Oh, hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
By the way, before we get into this, I had a moment of weakness today. I was poking around on the network, and I may have watched the first episode of Total Divas.
Mm, why?
I was like, I just want to see.
You had to stop and watch the dogs fucking on the side of the road.
Exactly. Those dogs are fucking. We got to stop and watch this. I will say I learned something very important. That is that John Cena is just completely out of fucks.
Has Nikki just ran him that ragged, or is he just...
Well, what brought it up, what reminded me that it was on the network today, was they were talking about the end of season 2 on fan forums, and they posted a blur from TV Tropes, and it was like, Nikki is a huge pervert. And I'm like, what? Well, now I have to watch this.
Why is she a huge pervert?
She's just a huge pervert, evidently.
Well, you can't just leave it at that. Like, in what context? What is she into? What's her kink?
Hang on. Let me pull the thread back up.
Damn it.
I'm sorry, Mike. I was ill-prepared to talk about what Nikki Bella? The fake moobs McGee Bella.
We know that Brie is just, like, head over heels about body hair.
I also learned watching the first episode, those two could not be, like, more different. Like, Brie and Brian are walking down the street talking about going to the farmer's market, and Nikki, like, pulls into the house in a fucking Range Rover. And I'm like, oh. Here we go. Refuge and audacity. Nikki Bella is a massive pervert, and she's also kind of brilliant with how open she is about it. She owns 6 vibrators and claims she needs them whenever John is away for too long and brings one along for a trip to Vegas. She has no problem making jokes about her private parts, and then another episode reveals she loves looking at a reflection of herself while doing it with John.
I wouldn't say that makes her a huge pervert.
It explains why John Cena is the champ, because it takes 6 vibrators to equal one John Cena.
She could probably just save herself some time and, like, rope one onto a chainsaw or something. And
he should just wrap the belt around that.
Jesus.
Oh, Nikki.
Still, I don't think that qualifies her as a pervert. She has a healthy sexual appetite.
And she feeds it with vibrators, evidently.
Well,
like goldfish crackers.
They're just disappearing into this maw of a vagina that this woman has.
Just, like, throws one in. Ah,
Jesus Christ.
God damn it. You're never going to eat goldfish crackers the same
no,
way again.
No, thanks, Chris. I really enjoyed goldfish crackers.
You're going to think of them as Nikki Bella Vaginos. Would you call that...
Can we get off this subject already?
Would you consider that the snack that smiles back?
Only if she lays on her side. Anyway.
So I guess just like going down the week, first off, last week we mentioned Bad News Barrett was injured and was going to be out for a little bit. Now it's looking like he's not even going to make it to SummerSlam.
Yeah, he has to get ligaments in his elbow, I almost said, shoulder. Replaced.
Ligaments in his shoulder replaced. They're also going to do a distal clavicle resection, which is they're going to shave off the end of his collarbone.
Yeah, so he's going to be out for at least 2 months.
Poor fucking guy.
Yeah.
Every time he, like, gets some traction going and is about to become, like, the guy, he fucks himself up.
Luckily for him, though, this Bad News Barrett thing has gotten more over than any of his past gimmicks, so I think people will remember it, and when he comes back, they'll be ready, and he won't lose as much momentum as he did the last time he had to go away, because the whole, like, just bare-knuckle fighter deal that he had on his second return, it's like, that wasn't getting anywhere.
I kind of wonder, too, because he won't be cleared to wrestle anytime soon, but he could probably come back and do some more Bad News Barrett stuff.
Yeah, if he comes out and just cuts a couple promos, I mean, it'll keep him fresh in people's minds, and they'll be ready for him to come back in the ring when he's healed up.
Right, right. There have been a number of injuries showing up lately in WWE. You had Bad News Barrett with his shoulder injury. Cesaro got poked in the eye by Kofi Kingston and showed up looking like a Swiss pirate.
I saw that.
Which I feel we are missing out on.
We already had Paul Burchill. We don't need any more pirates.
Orton got his head busted open at Money in the Bank. There were some other things. I can't remember what right now off the top of my head.
Dean Ambrose injured his shoulder as well.
Right.
But it wasn't to the extent of Barrett's. He was able to still go, but the injury that he had at the show was legit.
Right. Anyways, it looks like they're telling WWE talents to be more aggressive, quote-unquote. And that's why you're seeing a lot of black eyes, potato shots, injuries like separated shoulders from where somebody gets thrown into the barricade. Stuff like that.
Well, it's like one of the complaints as to why people have stopped watching wrestling, even since the Monday Night Wars ended, was that it's too fake now. It's too phony.
Too fake.
So, I mean, it's always been fake, but now people are saying that it's too fake.
Extra fake.
So extra fake. Maybe this is a way to kind of make it look a little more legitimate, which it might be more fun to watch, but it's definitely going to cost the guys in the long run.
We know how to make it look more real, Vince. We're just going to try to kill everybody.
Yeah, which is exactly why professional wrestling was created, because then they found out that they could not kick the shit out of each other like they were doing in boxing and have a longer career than boxers.
The other thing this report notes is talents, some of them have been tinkering with the idea of barely missing strikes, where they basically just like full steam ahead, throw something at them and attempt to miss with like a punch or a kick, but you know, when you throw something hard and fast and like attempt to miss, there's always that possibility that the person you're trying to miss isn't going to notice.
Don't talk about hard and fast right after we're talking about Nikki Bella.
John Cena. So moving on from there, Money in the Bank was of course Sunday night.
Monkey in the Bank.
That's not good to talk about after. So, I did just watch it. I will say for like the past month or so, every time like Raw has been on, I get home like while it's in progress. I get home from work, I sit down, I turn it on, and every time I get home just in time to see Stardust make his entrance. So it's like I come home and go, yay, wrestling! And I turn it on and go, oh, Cody. but I did finally get around to watching this one. I guess we'll just do our usual pay-per-view rundown.
Yeah, I can't remember. Like midway through the show, I had lost track of who I had predicted. So let's just skip over what we thought was going to happen because I don't even remember.
I think I remember what you predicted, though. Let's see. Opener was the tag team match for the tag team championship. The Usos retained against the Wyatt family. You did not think they would retain. I'd just like to invite you to suck it, sir.
I thought right now the Wyatts are hot enough that they should have the championships. I didn't think that they would keep it on the Usos, who have done fuck all.
I think the Wyatts will win it at Battleground. And did you get my note about doing a SummerSlam card?
No.
Oh, fuck it. Never mind.
Sorry.
I think the Wyatts will win it at Battleground, and then there will be a big tag match at SummerSlam where somebody will get it. Maybe not the Usos. I don't think the Wyatts would retain it at SummerSlam, but I think they'll win it at Battleground.
You mean a big tag match like they do at Mania, where they have like four tag teams or something?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Hey,
whatever. Why would you say that, Mike? God, shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up. God damn. Divas Championship match. Paige retained against Naomi. Not that it mattered. She lost it the next night on Raw to a returning AJ Lee. I'm Team Paige, personally.
I've made it well known my feelings about AJ. I was...
No, you haven't at all.
I was disappointed that she won it back.
Really?
Yeah. I thought that Paige had been doing well. I didn't like the sort of yes, no, maybe double turn they did with them.
Right.
And I think it, like, even though Paige has beaten everybody, it's still, like, now it makes her look like second best at the very best. Because, I mean, AJ was running through everybody. She beat everybody. and then loses it to Paige, who beats everybody. But then when AJ comes back, she immediately wins it back. It kind of hurts Paige, I think. It doesn't make her look as strong.
Right.
Which she needed more than AJ, considering she's brand new and AJ's been there for a couple years.
I would agree with that. I definitely would have preferred Paige to retain it. I don't know how to, what the fuck did you just do?
It's one of my six vibrators. No, I
yeah.
I knocked
somebody
my
somebody gets real excited when you mention AJ.
I knocked my TV remote over.
He's like, yeah, AJ. After that, Adam Rose came out and defeated Damian Sandow. Nobody gives a shit. Goddamn.
I'm surprised Adam Rose is still a thing.
You know, I was so, like, distraught with how god-awful the Adam Rose and Santino segment was on Raw. I didn't even notice Rosita was a Rosebud.
Yeah, she's been doing it for a couple shows. She's not, there every time.
I have been so fascinated with just how fucking terrible Adam Rose is, I have completely noticed Rosita on WWE programming. Just like, wait a minute, that is her.
Yeah, it was brought up that she was one of them a couple weeks back. I think just whenever they're in the Northeast, because I think she lives in New York.
Yeah, because they're doing, they're only getting, like, local workers to be Rosebuds now.
Right.
It was going to be NXT, but they concluded, A, it costs too much money, and B, they don't want the NXT people to miss, like, 3 days of school to go be fucking Rosebuds.
Yeah.
Who do you think the bunny is?
I'm still holding out for Chavo Guerrero. He was the Swagger Soaring Eagle, so he might be the bunny.
He was the Swagger Soaring Eagle. Did they ever confirm he was the Swagger? I figured through, like, a convoluted system of, like, pulleys, it'll be Hornswoggle. I would go, like, I would make it Shawn Michaels.
They finally get a hold of the bunny and yank the head off, and it's Shawn Michaels, and he super kicks everyone in the bunny suit.
And then, like, the bunny keeps coming out, but no one ever addresses the fact that it's Shawn Michaels. And I would make sure on certain occasions to make sure it is Shawn Michaels.
This is
and
like,
the bunny, like, this
is
the
like
best idea ever.
Sting not showing up on WrestleMania.
Sting's the bunny. That's what it is. There we go. It's Sting.
Oh, that would be awesome.
You'll know it's Sting when Adam Rose fucking kicks the bunny in the nuts. Why did Adam Rose turn on the bunny? And the whole crowd goes, Sting! Sting!
No, if some tag team was menacing Adam Rose, and they challenge him and the bunny to a match, and the bunny's on the apron, and Rose is getting his ass kicked, and he's reaching out for the tag me in, and Rose finally tags him in, and he runs in, stinger splash, scorpion death drop. Head doesn't come off.
Never address it.
Never address it. It's just, he's doing all of Sting's gimmicks, and just in the full bunny suit. I would
just,
lose
like,
my fucking mind. That would be great.
Did you just see the front row of Raw as it like dawns on them what's going on?
Yes.
What? And then like 6 months down the road, you can like unmask the bunny and it's like RVD or something. What? Well, so after that was, of course, the six-man Money in the Bank ladder match, because why bother replacing Bad News Barrett?
They don't have anybody to replace him. I mean, I guess we said Sin Cara could, but...
Sin Cara, then you've got your, like, lower card that, like, clearly aren't going to win
There's
it, but you
no
need to pad your match
anymore.
Out.
They fired all of them.
Zack Ryder's still there. You've got all of NXT. Bo Dallas could have been in there.
I don't think that they needed to replace Barrett. It certainly didn't hurt the match that it was only six guys.
Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, Kofi Kingston, Rob Van Dam, Jack Swagger, all lost to Seth Rollins, thanks to interference by Kane, who is totally uncontrollable.
God, that pisses me off.
Can't be controlled. Totally didn't intentionally take Bryan out. Nope.
I can't control him. He's all on his own. He's going crazy. I can't stop him. Hey,
go
Kane.
Go beat up Ambrose.
Go do everything that we say. Yeah, it's so stupid how they flip-flopped with Kane.
No, it's
stupid that they put him back in the mask and he's the demon again after 6 months of being a fat man in slacks and a tie.
God, why did they even... What was the payoff to that?
What?
The corporate Kane.
I think it was legitimately to get him out of the ring regularly. The guy's aged.
Right.
He's probably looking to wind down. I mean, he's getting into politics now. Glenn Jacobs is.
Right, so, yeah, not Kane. He's not like, please welcome to the Congress floor, and then, like, pyro goes off.
Fire shoots out of the podium that he stands at. But, I mean...
That would be, I'd vote for that.
So I think that it was, the idea was to get him into a more human role and away from the monster.
Right.
And I don't understand why they suddenly put the mask and shit back on him and had him be Kane again.
Oh, Kane. So after that, the match I came home and walked into. Goldust and Stardust defeated Rybacksel.
After they already beat Rybacksel on television, so...
And then they beat them again the next night.
Yeah, so...
I feel like they've done it at least one other time.
It would have been fine if it was the payoff to the whole Stardust angle.
Right.
Because the reason that Cody left Goldust was because they couldn't beat Rybacksel like 3 months in a row.
Right.
So the big, like, yay, we're back in a good team should have been beating Rybacksel at the pay-per-view. Instead, they've done it twice on free television.
Do you remember the, like, 6 months there where there was a tag division?
Yeah, it seemed to be going pretty well for a little bit.
Seemed to be going pretty well. Also, do you remember last year at Money in the Bank when Damian Sandow won the Money in the Bank briefcase after almost, like, losing it to Cody?
What? That didn't happen.
What a fall from grace. Only followed by Rybax.
What, when Cody and Damian Sandow were doing the best friends gimmick and then Sandow turned on him?
They were both in Money in the Bank, and Cody almost won it.
And then Sandow turned on him.
Yeah. And now
Cody Rhodes went fucking nowhere.
Wait, fuck it. It went to the fucking lake where Cody threw that briefcase.
They had an angle planned for that until the whole thing where he got married and they forgot that he was taking time off.
They were like, oh, shit.
Like, I feel that they were going somewhere with that angle and then...
I feel like they wanted him to get the briefcase and then cash in, but they were like, Cody should have to fight for it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then they went, whoops. Poor Cody.
That's another one of those things, like I brought up last week, where it's a strange series of events that seem unrelated lead to something, because that angle happened, they had to cut Cody short, so they wrote him off TV as getting fired for losing to Randy Orton, which led to Goldust's return, which led to them not being able to beat Ryback, which led to Stardust.
Sometimes it leads to a boom period, and sometimes it leads to Stardust.
Sometimes it leads to a rock star can.
Oh, poor Cody Rhodes. So following that, you know...
So if he had just stayed and not got married... He probably would have been world champion by now.
Following that was Rusev and Big E. A match which I actually thought was pretty good.
Yeah, they don't do... Their matches aren't pretty.
Right, they don't do technical, glorious matches.
But as far as, like, two big guys beating the dog shit out of each other, they put on a decent show.
They do that Brock Lesnar, no, I'm gonna actually just try to kill you, just try not to die
yeah.
kind of match. I thought the ending was pretty great to that. I thought Lana was particularly great in that. Rusev apply submission hold. Lana flash magnificent cleavage and yell. Crash! By the way, if you're not following Lana on Instagram, you really should. She's killing it. She's fucking hilarious.
I am not following her on Instagram. I don't follow anybody on Instagram. Anyway.
She did a thing where she is reading tweets on Instagram, and it's fucking hilarious.
But in her accent?
In her accent and costume and character and the whole nine yards. She did one picture. It was her with Vicky after she had got thrown in the like pit on Raw and got fired. And like the caption is, so much to learn from such a strong woman. Thanks, Vicky. And it's like Vicky pissed off, covered in goo, and Lana just kind of staring confused at the camera. Killing it. That was a good match. I liked the angle with Rusev on Raw with Jack Swagger. I never would have guessed Swagger and Coulter could get that kind of a face pop, but I guess when you put them against like the black hole of time, they get it. I'm looking forward to that.
Who would have thought that it took like a 50-year-old done to death evil Russian gimmick to make anyone give half a shit about Jack Swagger?
They put belts on him. They put him in matches with Del Rio and Ziggler. They paired him with Ziggler. He drove a fucking golf cart to the ring at WrestleMania. Not that we saw it, because ironically he couldn't drive straight, so they had to cut the entrance. That's what I said as soon as he came out. I was like, hey, do you guys remember when Jack Swagger got a jobber entrance at WrestleMania?
Yeah. Well, that was also after he got busted with pot.
That's why it's so funny. Poor Jack Swagger. Not poor Jack Swagger.
Yeah, it's to get the just instant face reaction that he got as soon as his music hit to interrupt Rusev. It's like, wow. All you needed to do was dust off that old evil Russian gimmick from the Cold War era.
I like to imagine Vince is like looking at Jack Swagger saying to himself, God damn, are we sure the Iron Sheik can't go for another round?
They don't want to give Sheiky a live mic anymore.
He's trying to lean up to the ring mics and speak. No, turn them off. Turn them all off.
The Zeb Coulter, the Jack Swagger. I do like a Brian Blair. Fuck your ass.
So after that, God damn, what a podcast this is.
I love Sheiky. Layla, I love Sheiky.
Everybody loves Sheiky. That's a WWE, if you're listening, there's your next reality show.
I said one time that I want a cover of Do You Want to Build a Snowman from Frozen sung by the Iron Sheik. Do you want to build snowman or go fuck yourself?
Fuck! Build it! I would love to see Frozen reiterated with wrestling characters anyways. Actually, I've still not even seen Frozen, so I can't really go anywhere else with that statement. So, Mike, anything in particular you'd like to observe about that? Frozen done by wrestling characters. Do you have anything?
If Iron Sheik could play Anna and God, who was his partner? The Russian dude.
Nikolai Volkov?
Yes, if he played Elsa and they did the whole sisterly love thing between them. It'd be fucking great.
Just like Frozen with like a string of obscenities and thick Russian accents.
Yes. Instead of singing Let It Go, he sings the Russian national anthem.
Oh, everybody's like, it's so cold. And they're like, no, just Russia. Here, have some more vodka. Warm you up. Layla defeated Summer Rae with Fandango as the guest referee. Their match was all right. Fandango as guest referee was goddamn hilarious.
Yeah,
I loved it. A little bit of dirty Johnny Curtis in there. I especially loved when... I think it was Layla had Summer Rae in a submission, and you probably should have been watching the submission, but Fandango was like standing over them, like thrusting his hips. Yeah. And I'm like, no, this is amazing.
It was a very good, entertaining cool down match.
I love how you won't describe it as good.
Well, no, I mean, it's like the cool down matches are usually like, you could walk away from the television and not miss a fucking thing.
Right.
But this was actually entertaining to watch.
It's kind of great to think about the fact that with the network and being able to like pause a pay-per-view or rewind a pay-per-view or go back and watch it whenever you want, the era of cooldown matches might gradually be ending.
Oh, yeah. Never thought about it that way.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, I missed the first half of Money in the Bank, but I just watched it just now.
Mm-hmm.
Almost a week later.
It's only Wednesday.
Shut up, Mike.
I mean, no, it's Friday, because that's when this goes up.
Thank you, Mike. Decent match. Layla won. Fandango should have just chose both of them. But if I had to choose one of them, Layla.
Yeah, I always thought he kind of traded up.
Yeah.
Nothing against Summer Rae, but...
Summer Rae's a good looking lady. She looked way better in that ring gear than the weird kind of Muppet shit she normally wears. With all the tassels and shit. She looked way better in her NXT ring gear. But Layla, all the way. She's British and curvy and... Wow.
You done?
Sorry. I'm going to need one of my six vibrators. So after that, the 8-man ladder match for the vacant WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Poor Vacant, man. He's had a good year so far. 3-time WWE World Heavyweight Champion, Intercontinental Championship. I think Vacant should have a Hall of Fame induction this year. Vacant has kicked ass this year.
He's beaten the likes of Andre the Giant,
mm-hmm.
Ted DiBiase, Hulk Hogan,
yeah.
Daniel Bryan.
Oh, God, that was one of the other things about Total Divas that made me laugh. They were backstage, and they showed the back of one of the, like, production trucks that hauls their shit, and it had a picture of Ted DiBiase Jr. and Jinder Mahal. I'm like, ooh, I wonder if that's one of the trucks they retired.
Well, good news for them is that they might get a royalty check for their appearance showing up on Total Divas.
I doubt that. So, this was, of course, hyped as the first time ever the WWE World Heavyweight Championship has been defended in a ladder match. It's real easy to say that when your title is only 6 months old.
Yeah.
God damn you, Triple H. Kane, Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, Alberto Del Rio, Sheamus, Bray Wyatt, Cesaro, John Cena. Everybody gave as good as they got. I wish John Cena had been a little more involved in the match. I know they had to protect him, and he couldn't, like, flip off fucking ladders and shit. I just wish he had showed up for more than, like, two spots in the match.
That's what you were saying right after the show, was, like, where the fuck was John Cena during all that? And I had to point out that it's, like...
Yeah.
There's been a rash of injuries and releases. Yeah. You really don't want the guy who's scheduled to win the title to fucking fall off the ladder and break his hip or some stupid shit.
Yeah. So I'm not saying he needs to like be like fucking tumbling around on top of the ladder like some of these guys were, and they did some crazy goddamn spots. But I definitely wish he had done more than get speared by Roman Reigns and then hit a bloody Randy Orton and Kane with an AA. Just my personal opinion. Really, really good match. I think my favorite spot by far was probably, was it Cesaro and Sheamus on top of the ladder and then Reigns, like, tilted it?
Yeah, they had, like, they stuck the ladder through the middle.
Yeah, they did, like, an A-frame ladder.
And then
Cesaro and Sheamus are on top fighting.
Yeah, and Roman Reigns grabs one of the ends of the ladders and, like, flips it up so that it stands on the ladder that's crosswise through the standing ladder.
Yeah.
And it's this weird erector set.
I'm like watching it and I'm thinking, oh god, somebody's gonna die. Like, the first thing I was thinking when I saw him tilt that ladder was I was looking at like where Cesaro was and I was thinking, well, Cesaro is about to get some time off.
Yeah.
But it balanced and they kept going. I'm like, this is fucking cool.
See, I thought they were going to do some spot like they did one year with Christian where they had the ladder set up like that and he did his finisher off the sideways ladder.
Yeah.
But I didn't think that they were just going to tilt it back. When they set it up, I was like, something big's going to happen here. And it was a cool-looking spot, but not really dangerous.
Yeah. Well, you know, if that's another one of those things 5-10 years ago, you would have had, like, RVD or Christian or one of the Hardys in there, and they would have jumped and grabbed the belt from that ladder.
Yeah.
Very cool spot. Everybody has some really cool stuff. Randy Orton got busted open. Wide fucking open. Needed 12 stitches. I will say the one thing I really wish they had done, I know they didn't have time to call an audible and pull this off, but if, like, right before Cena went and grabbed that belt, Triple H had been like, no, match stoppage, we need to clean up Randy,
yeah.
That would have been fucking awesome.
It was like, just as he gets his hand on the belt, it's like Triple H gets the mic and, hold on, we gotta clean Randy up.
We go, Randy's pretty bad. Get down, John, we're gonna restart the match in 5 minutes. That would have been, like, the best heel thing they could have done all night long.
Although it was pointed out that Stephanie and Triple H sitting at ringside, they didn't want John Cena to win, but as soon as he's climbing the ladder, they just kind of sit there and mean mug him as he's winning the match.
Sort of like adults or parents with a 2-year-old. Hey, no, yeah, don't you...
Stop that, stop that.
Stop that, stop.
It's like Triple Cena H could get up and push the ladder over. He is a wrestler. He could.
Cena with his head hung in shame slinks to, okay.
Fine, Dad.
All right. Cena, of course, won it. Good match, though. I really enjoyed it. I think it was a really good Money in the Bank.
It was.
Really good pay-per-view. Definitely did not feel like the kind of B pay-per-view it does on occasion.
Yeah, I'd say like last year.
Last year was a B pay-per-view, definitely. Year before was a big one, but that was the Punk one.
Was it?
Punk, yeah, it was only 2 years ago.
The second time that he won it?
Oh, yeah. Never mind. I'm off a year.
Or was that, was it Money in the Bank that he left with?
Yeah, Money in the Bank 2012 was, Money in the Bank 2012 was Punk and Bryan.
Okay, but 2011 was when he cut his promo,
right.
And...
2011 was Summer of Punk.
Right.
That's right. 2012 was Cena won Money in the Bank. God, that feels like last year.
No,
it all kind of runs together.
It was Sandow and who else last year?
Orton.
Orton, that's right. Because Orton won at SummerSlam, and then Sandow did not beat an injured John Cena.
On Raw. Oh, God. I'm just looking at like last year's Money in the Bank card. You have Sandow winning. You have The Shield and The Usos with The Shield as champions. You have AJ defeating Caitlyn. You have Curtis Axel defeating The Miz. Cena and Henry in a submission match. Or no, Cena and Henry singles match for the championship. Oh, that's right, because that was after Mark Henry cut his retirement promo.
Oh, yeah.
In that fucking weird-ass pink jacket. And then was like, fuck you, I'm kidding.
Yeah, when he laid out John Cena after that Oscar-winning retirement speech.
I think my favorite part about that speech is the story how afterwards he had to, like, call his kids and apologize.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm so sorry.
Daddy's coming home. No, he's not!
Oh, I just like to imagine he then, like, fucking slammed his kids. I'm coming home. Just kidding. Whack! So this was, of course, followed up by probably one of the best draws of the year.
I'd say for the first hour and last hour.
Mm-hmm.
During the middle, I really lost track of what was happening and stopped giving a shit.
They pulled a great swerve with the multimedia cross-platform superstar thing. It leaked a few hours before Raw came out that Jericho would be returning. And then The Miz came out, and everybody kind of went, well, they've been wrong before. And then Jericho came out.
Well, I was listening to Jericho's podcast today.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, on Wednesday. And he...
Stop breaking kayfabe, man.
He said that he saw the reports that he was at the arena, so he looked in his phone and saw a picture of him when he was playing with his kids a couple weeks ago. And so he threw that up on Twitter, saying, just playing house with the daughters. Like right before he was supposed to come out just to kind of throw people off the scent. So I thought that was cool. I didn't notice it at the time, but yeah.
Great return. Jericho's gonna have a feud with the Wyatts, it looks like. Or with Bray, at least. Which is way better than him chasing Sheamus for the United States Championship. Because I was kind of like, why the fuck does he want that piece of shit?
Well, he said that WWE was trying to get Jericho back for WrestleMania.
Right.
But he was like, okay, what do you guys have for me? And they're like, well, what do you want to do? Like, they just wanted him back to have a name back for Mania. They didn't really have a plan for him. And he's like, if you guys have a reason for me to be there, I'll come back. If not, I'm not coming back. And he said that the two guys that he wanted to work with were Brian, who was in the middle of his shit with Triple H and Orton and all them. Or right. Bray Wyatt, who was in the middle of his shit with Cena. So the two guys he wanted to work with were busy, and they didn't have any plans for him. But now Wyatt is freed up, so they can bring Jericho back, and he can have his little feud with Wyatt.
Yeah. Which will be interesting. I'd love to see them have a match. Plus, with Jericho, he's got a history of putting the younger guys over, so you really can't tell which way it's going to go. It's just as likely that he'll lose every single goddamn match like he did the last time he came back.
He only lost matches on pay-per-view.
Really?
Yeah, he addressed that it's like, when I came back, everyone said that I lost all my matches, but he kept a diary. Apparently he's been doing this since the beginning of his year, fucking Mark. he keeps track of where he is, what matches he has, and whether or not he won or lost them. And over that return, that he, quote, lost every match, like, on television, he won probably 80% of the time. In the big matches on pay-per-view, the ones that people pay attention to, he lost most of them. But overall, he won most of his matches.
Right. Makes sense.
But, I mean, that's kind of what you want people to remember anyway, is, like, he put over Punk, he put over this guy, that guy, whatever.
Punk and Ziggler, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah. He was only there for, like, 6 months.
Yeah.
But still, it's like you want to remember him putting guys over so that they look good, rather than the, like, little forgettable stints on Raw where he just hit somebody with his finish and beat him.
Right. Now, by all accounts, I believe he's penciled in through Night of Champions this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, another 6 months. I like that with Jericho. I very much prefer that he's willing to, like, come back in, do a good story, put a few guys over, and then just go away for a few months to a few years.
It certainly makes his stock go up.
Yeah.
Because
it's certainly, like, I'm sure you noticed it when his music hit it Monday night. There was especially one guy in the crowd, but the crowd lost their shit. One guy, I think, shit himself and had a heart attack. he like, fucking just goes, bruh! I'm like, God damn, dude, calm down.
It wasn't Brock Lesnar guy, was it?
No, it was some douchebag in, like, a backwards Yankees cap or something.
Are you sure?
It was Fred Durst. No, he's always got the Affliction t-shirts and whatnot. He wears the same fucking shirt. he spends so much money chasing Brock Lesnar across the country.
Hey, that's his wrestling shirt.
It's wrestling shirt. I'm here to watch wrestling. Yeah.
Oh, Brock Lesnar.
Well, hell, if you had a shirt that you wore, like, the night that they featured you on television and you became, like, a meme, every time you went to a show, wouldn't you wear that same shirt so that people would be like, that's the guy?
I'd make sure it was a shirt that had, like, something horrible on it. Like, it would say, like, Nikki Bella Vaginos or something on it.
It'd say, I'm Nikki's seventh vibrator.
Just be like a bright pink shirt that says number 7, and I'd just stand there and shake the entire time.
Oh, God.
People would cry like, what the fuck is he doing?
It'd be hilarious until John Cena jumped you.
John Cena, if you knew how to take care of a woman, she wouldn't need me. Yeah. You're all about hustle, loyalty, and respect. Why don't you hustle over and respect that for JJ? With some loyalty.
Whatever match that he has, he just finds a way to get it out in the crowd just so he has a reason to knock the shit out of you.
Oh, God, do I want WWE hire us to write?
I don't know.
So I guess really, of course, the only other big thing that occurred on Raw Monday night, during Raw Monday night, Emma was arrested.
Yeah, weird story there.
Stole an iPad case that was only worth like $22. Her lawyer said it was just a mistake while trying to navigate the self-checkout at Walmart. I can kind of understand that. Those machines are a bit of a bitch.
Yeah, if you've ever tried to use one, like they don't scan some of the things. It's easy to forget what you're scanning. Sometimes you don't put it in the bag and it yells at you, put your shit in the bag.
But then on Wednesday...
What were you gonna say today?
Shut up. On Wednesday... it was announced WWE released her, and then 2 hours later WWE went, no, wait, never mind. No, we want to keep her.
I think that they decided to keep her because it was brought to their attention that they kept Cameron on, didn't even punish Cameron for getting arrested for a DUI and then trying to bribe the cop.
I think it was I think it's a work visa issue. Emma is Australian.
Yes.
And if there was something work visa related with that, they may have had to release her because she wouldn't have been able to work. She would have had to go back home down under.
Right, but I don't think for a misdemeanor charge like that a work visa gets revoked.
Not when like 90% of your staff has a mugshot on the internet from where they got busted for DUI. I mean, fuck, Riley's got a DUI, one of the Usos, Cameron, as you mentioned.
None of them tried to bribe the cop with $10,000 to make the charge disappear.
Cameron's stupid ass doesn't have $10,000. By the way, if you really want to hate her, Total Divas is the way to go. God damn.
I will admit that I didn't watch the whole episode. It was on when I was just checking the channel one day.
Sure it was.
I wasn't watching the show. But it was this clip where the Bellas and the Funkadactyls match got cut from WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's the first episode.
And Naomi runs off crying, and Layla's there trying to console her, and she's like, well, how many of these do I have left? I mean, next year I turn 30. I want to have kids. Or no, it's like in 4 years I turn 30. I want to have kids. And I'm looking at Layla, and it's like, she's 35.
There is a.
I'm sure she feels great about hearing you be like, I want to have a family before I turn 30, and she's still jerking the curtain for whatever show at 35.
There's a really great bit in the middle of Total Divas where it was like right after the rehearsal for their WrestleMania match, which again got cut. Brodus like loses his shit and yells at Ariel and Cameron, whatever. Tells her she sucks and blah blah blah, and she's like all distraught and whatnot. Well, her boyfriend Vinny is backstage, and she's like crying and whatnot. And Vinny's like, "Where is he? He can't talk to you like that. He can't disrespect you like that. I'm gonna beat his ass." And everybody's like, "Jimmy Uso's there, and Naomi's there, and Natalia's there," and they're all like, "No, you can't do that." And he's like, "I'm gonna go fuck him up." And I'm sitting here like, "Yeah, let him go fuck him
yeah,
up.
Yeah, let him go try Brodus Clay."
I was just hoping that one of them would be like, you heard of Snoop Dogg? Because he used to, like, keep him alive.
Yeah.
Like, no, let him go fuck up, Brodus Clay. Naomi's, like, losing her shit. She's like, you can't talk like that. We will be fired.
Oh, God.
I'm just like, please let him go pick a fight with Brodus Clay.
I'm sure if that would have happened, the internet would have blown up with that. We would have known about it.
No, they talked him out of it.
God.
Oh. It's an interesting show to watch. I didn't realize Natalia was so petty either. You know, we want Eva Marie to be blonde. I'm blonde. Why do they want her to be blonde? I can be blonde. I am blonde.
Well, I remember during the commercials, the Bellas were all worried because there's someone that looks kind of like them. Yeah. And then they were so relieved to find out that she had bright red hair.
Oh, no, she had brown hair when they met her. And then WWE was like, we want you to dye your hair blonde. And, like, at the last second, she was like, nah, blonde didn't work. Dye it red. She shows up backstage, the ladies in charge of the divas, and she's like, oh. Well, I really like it, actually, but next time.
Yeah, I wonder if Molly Holly and Trish Stratus ever got into fights over who was the best blonde one.
I always had a thing for Molly Holly. Trish never really did it for me.
Well,
this is why I'm Team Paige and you're Team AJ. And this is why we're going to have to just be in their corners at SummerSlam, I guess.
Yeah. We know Punk's not going to be in AJ's corner.
No comment.
Don't worry, AJ. I got your back. Phil can sit at home. I got you. I'm sorry, Punk. Don't kick my ass, please.
I like to imagine if he heard this, he would be more pissed that you called him Phil than anything.
That's why I'm just saying, don't kick my ass, Punk. I'm sorry.
Look, you can grab whatever you want of hers. She'll kick your ass if she wants to. Don't call
me
Phil.
You don't fucking call me Phil. You don't know me as Phil.
So that's that was wrestling this week. Was there anything
else? I'm really sorry, Punk. I swear to God, I didn't mean it. Don't beat me up.
I'm wearing a CM Punk t-shirt right now. I'm a big fan.
We need the downloads. Beat him up. Beat him up, please. Beat him up. Please beat him up, Punk, please.
I would ride that wave straight to the bank if I got my ass kicked by CM Punk.
You're listening to Room Full of Nerd Stuff with Mike, who got his ass beat by CM Punk.
I called Punk by his first name and hit on his wife, and he kicked my ass.
Mike, of course, still can't talk. His jaw remains wired shut.
It's no fair. I tapped out to the Anaconda device. He's supposed to let it go.
Little Nate was there telling him to let go and everything. Why was Little Nate there?
He's AJ's seventh vibrator.
Well, that's the show for this week, I think.
Yeah, I got nothing. I'm going to have to go get an order of protection against CM Punk now.
Punk sitting in his little Chicago apartment. Who the fuck is this asshole? Why does he have an order of protection against me? Don't beat him up.
Why would I beat him up?
That just makes me want to beat him up more. Hey, I don't know you, but you don't want me to beat you up, so I'm going to beat you up. I wonder if that would work.
Why?
Thanks for listening, everybody. Go listen to the Shadow Warriors commentary.
I don't know which one is which. I don't know which one came first.
There's two of them, and they were released 2 years apart, and Shadow Warriors 1 is also Shadow Warriors 2, and Shadow Warriors 2 is also Shadow Warriors 1, and...
I don't know.
It's kind of confusing. Go listen to the Shadow Warriors commentary.
Let's go listen to shit, yes. That's exactly what I was thinking.
And then listen to the rest of our podcast over on thehomeworld.net. Don't look at any of Mike's comics. Don't. Just don't.
Don't go to manitsucomics.com.
And support us on Patreon at patreon.com/roomfullofnerdstuff.
But don't go to patreon.com/manandsuitcomics.
Yeah, they give you chlamydia. Good night, everybody.
Goodbye.